22. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflow. Feeling earthy, Steve.
Feeling earthy, Chip. The little granola. Do you a lot of good. We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Yes, Chip, you're right. Happy Earth Day this Friday.
Well, you know, these Birkenstocks don't just wear themselves, Steve.
I celebrate Earth Day every day because I'm almost never on Mars.
I'm going to go over here and give this tree a big hug. Give me some sugar.
Is that where sugar comes from? I thought it was syrup.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Hey, Chip, did you make it to the movie theater this week?
Chip was busy. Chip was busy doing work things and other things. So, yes, I'm going to the movie this afternoon, Steve, to prepare for next week's show.
All right. So we'll look forward to your review of a film for next week. This week, my friend, I got a chance to see the new and not quite so new series on Netflix called Hard Sell. This is a Office-style sitcom about a women's prison in Britain.
Oh, my goodness. What could go wrong? Steve, is this Orange is the New Black, but funny?
This is definitely that. This just happens to be about a group of women who are incarcerated, who they really have heart. They really have lives outside of this one thing, that they are in prison. This series is created by and starring Catherine Tate. You might know Catherine Tate as one of Britain's better comedians. I love Catherine Tate and everything that she does. And she plays so many different characters, so many scenes where she is talking to herself, where there's two different versions of Catherine Tate on screen. This, I highly recommend Hard Sell to anybody who loves comedy, who loves humanity. The idea, again, of finding yourself, finding that time to see the truth of your life, even if it has to involve being, you know, put into a cell in order to do so. The one thing that they didn't mention, and I haven't said it yet, is that the centerpiece of this series is that they are putting on a musical in this women's prison, and hilarity ensues.
Well, there you go. Orange and the New Black's been repurposed as Hard Sell. That seems like it's great. It's going to be on Netflix. Steve, give me a moment of zen.
Yes, I have been studying my Zen Buddhism this week, Chip. We're going to go deep, deep into the life and times of a world-famous Zen master, Nak Han, and I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, and I apologize to the Zen master who I only learned about this week. He was a Vietnamese Buddhist monk who has been traveling the world since the 1960s when he was exiled from Vietnam for protesting the Vietnam War. I have never heard of this Zen Buddhist master, but this week something came up that made me understand how much his influence on Zen Buddhism has really blossomed in the last 60 years. I watched a movie, this is a documentary called Walk With Me. It is the story of his famous school in France where he's teaching Zen Buddhism. This is a beautiful, very quiet, very still kind of documentary. It is narrated by Benedict Cumberbatch and shows...
That sounds strange.
He does have homes, though.
Con!
John! What what a great career Benedict Cumberbatch has had. What a great actor he is. And his voice lending credence to this idea of slowing down and thinking through and mindfulness. We've talked about mindfulness quite a bit over the last 8 years. And it turns out that Nat Han is credited as the father of mindfulness in Western culture. He really? Is the one. Yeah. Isn't that interesting that I've never heard of this guy until this week? He is the one who brought the art of mindfulness to the West. And he has been criticized for his Westernization of Zen Buddhism. But I tell you what, as someone who lives in a Western country and loves the idea of Buddhism, he really speaks to me. And this documentary, Walk With Me, really makes me understand his teaching in a very deep way.
And not to go too off the rails on this, but you do know there's large Buddhist communities in Iowa.
There are large Buddhist communities in lots of places, Iowa being one of them. We have a Buddhist temple here in our area, out in the middle of rural Midwestern Illinois. And the idea of getting away, getting to the heart of what it is to be alive, is the center of Zen Buddhism.
So did you enjoy this film?
I enjoyed this very much. I watched this very carefully, very closely, without any distraction. It is a very mindful setup. You are put into this world that is new to you, and you are watching, seeing the very careful, mindful things that this community does. Mindful walking is a big part of Zen Buddhism. That's why it's called Walk With Me. They go on a lot of walks, communing with nature.
Do they run into Frodo?
I don't think that Frodo's very mindful. There's a lot of walking in that movie, though. Even the trees walk in that movie.
Are they followed by Gollum?
This is a wonderful way to take a short look at the idea of Zen Buddhism and focusing your mind on what is present, what is current, not focusing on the future, not worrying about the past. And it really, for me, brings me to a state of joy thinking about all of the things that are current and present, that mindfulness.
So now that you found your center and you are totally relaxed, we should mention that that's the Eastern side of things. Let's bring up our new movie, Steve. Let's talk about the Western part of things.
Well, our movie opening this week is called The Northman.
It's got a Skarsgård.
Of course it has a Skarsgård. All movies, I think that's contractual. You have to have a Skarsgård in every movie. It also has Nicole Kidman and Ethan Hawke.
Well, you know what? That's probably the opposite of the Eastern way of looking at things. Let's go totally Western. We're going to go Norse.
Right. This is the Norse conversation. Epic. Epic Vikings questing.
Let's just say that they will conquer everything and then steal your women.
Great. There's another movie coming out called Hostile Territory. This is a post-Civil War America with a Union soldier presumed dead. His children are mistakenly sent away on an orphan train, and adventure spreads from there.
Well, he's going to Missouri, Steve, so you know it's going to be an adventure. And there you go. He's going to go recover his kids, Steve.
Maybe our best movie of the week is The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. This is a surprise to me. You said, Steve, you need to watch this trailer. You know how much I don't like trailers, but I watched this one. This might be the best Nicolas Cage film in the last decade.
Well, Bruce Willis and Nicolas Cage have something in common. They put together a lot of bad movies recently. Mm-hmm. This looks pretty good.
This is Nick Cage playing himself in a true story about being out of money and being desperate to make more money. I'll tell you what, in New Orleans, when I was down in New Orleans for spring break, they talked about Nick Cage more than any other character that we talked about that week. Nicolas Cage, went through a big financial crisis in New Orleans. He owned a house. That house was taken away. And boy, everybody talks about Nicolas Cage. It happened to be that he was in town that week filming the new Dracula movie, where he plays Dracula, by the way. But everybody was talking about Nick Cage. This movie goes to the heart of that. Pedro Pascal and Nick Cage get to do basically a buddy comedy action flick here.
This looks a lot of fun. In fact, our pick of the week, or my pick of the week. And Steve, let's go with the movie that's about modern problems, Steve, in the first world.
Welcome to 2022. Your 2022-ish film of the week is Unplugging. This is about a couple that feels like they are too connected to their iPads and phones, and they go into the woods and have an adventure. This is Leah Thompson, Eva Longoria, David Keith, and Matt Walsh. I think I might actually like this movie.
Well, Leah Thompson is just a treasure, and this is a comedy that doesn't look particularly good, but you know what? It looks like it's good enough.
I agree with that. That is a great assessment of this trailer.
Hey, Steve, let's go with a long list of children's movies that are being released this week.
Okay. The first one.
The week after Easter. You know, that three-day weekend didn't really work out. So let's have them all after Easter.
Maybe they're setting up for summer viewing. I don't know.
Well, they know Passover's still going on, I guess.
The first one is a country music movie called A Cowgirl Song. How country music can we possibly get? This is the story of a young lady who wants to be a singer and then finds a way to use that talent to get her dad out of jail. That's a country movie.
And it stars, Charlie's Angel, Cheryl Ladd.
Cheryl Ladd, there you go. As Grandma. Grandma Cheryl Ladd. Oh, boy.
And speaking of the other Charlie's Angel, Rhea Perlman, she's got a movie out this week.
Rhea Perlman, you put into the category of Charlie's Angels. I would watch the heck out of that movie, by the way. This one is called Marvelous and the Black Hole. This is a dysfunctional family, a young Asian girl who's not really fitting in and finds a magician, a children's party magician, to navigate her life. And that happens to be Rhea Perlman. Rhea's daughter, Lucy, also appears in this one.
This actually looks really good. So if I had a young person, I would watch this. This looks like a lot of fun.
Okay. I'll agree with fun. It does look like fun. I don't know about good, but fun.
All right, Steve, we've got an animated film this week.
Yeah, The Bad Guys, featuring the voices of Sam Rockwell and Mark Maron, Awkwafina, and Craig Robinson. Okay, you got me on the cast for sure. This is several reformed yet misunderstood criminal animals attempt to become good with some disastrous results. Okay, you lost me at talking animals. Disney has an animal movie coming out this week, not about talking animals. This one is called Polar Bear.
And these are released every year. Disney Nature, it seems, to release a movie. This is live action, somehow seeing part of nature. This year we get Polar Bears, and you can watch it on Disney Plus and probably at a theater near you.
There's The Revolution Generation. This is a documentary all about the millennials and how the millennials are really positioned to make change in the world.
Yeah, it's a documentary. It's talking a little bit about sort of the change in leadership that we may be having. Maybe the 80-year-olds won't run for office. Maybe we'll get some younger people next time.
Here's hoping. Also, they will skip Generation X.
Of course, we'll just be angry about it, Steve.
It's your birthday?
Book it.
Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You know, I have really taken a week this week after my wonderful vacation exploring the world, after my wonderful presentation making a musical on stage. I took a week this week to really recenter and refocus. I read a book called The Art of Living. This is by the Zen master Nat Khan. I'm sure I'm still saying that wrong. And
who is he not?
He's not Han. He's Chewie. No, stop it. Stop trying to derail my deep thoughts. The interesting part about this art of living is this Zen master is the one who brought the idea of mindfulness to the West, and he's really able to put into words for me, a very Western thinking person, about how mindfulness is so important to the joy of living. There's so many quotes from this book. I can really say every sentence of this book is quotable. Everything that is mentioned in here is something beautiful to think about and to really center your thinking about how you go through your day. One of my favorite quotes is, "Time is life and life is love." That's very deep. That's very simple. And at the same time, thinking about time, which is something that many of us think about all the time, time...
Steve, you didn't tell me I needed to put on the lava lamp and the hookah.
This is happy. This is your happy Easter book. This is the Buddhism book for Easter. Yes. This is religion for too much scrolling this week.
So I want to mention this. If someone wasn't familiar with mindfulness, what is that?
Yeah, we've talked about that quite a bit, and you're right, I should back up and explain. The idea of mindfulness, cognitive therapy, is centering your thinking on the present, not worrying about the past, because there's nothing you can do about the past, and not really worrying about the future either, just being present. We've talked about this many times. We talked to Dan Harris about the idea of mindfulness a few years ago. He's the ABC News anchorman who had a moment on camera where he really had a mental block. And he decided after that he needed to study the mind and found the study of mindfulness. He wrote a book called 10% Happier. And the idea of making yourself a better person by 10% by thinking carefully about the present, thinking about all of the tenets of Buddhism, and especially Zen Buddhism, is what I've been doing all week with the book that I read.
So for a person who is not familiar or has not experienced this type of thought process, you know, it's being used right now to treat, you know, melancholy, mm-hmm. the blahs, depression, monkey brain, you know, basically anything that kind of prevents you from moving forward. It's a tool.
Mm-hmm. And it could be a really useful tool against all of those mental blocks. Depression is a frightening thing. If you get stuck in depression, getting your way out, finding your way out can be very difficult. And focusing on the present and not the past, not the things that happened in the past, is one of the more important ways to try to treat that mental block.
And, you know, we talked a lot about Joseph Campbell during the book that I read a week or so ago. And Campbell's work was basically similar but different. Mm-hmm. But he talked about the West. We have this desire to look at religion and mythology as history. But in the East, it's like you are observing yourself. You mm-hmm. are, it's the self observing. The story of the Christ, you know, for a Westerner, is a story of history. For the East, it's a story of becoming that, you know, that person. And anyway, and what I should probably let you keep going on this, but you know, there's some tenets, some elements that kind of make up mindfulness. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the idea of selfishness, the idea of focusing on self in order to better yourself, in order to better the community, is one of the big tenets of Zen Buddhism. The first thing that the master here tells us is about emptiness, the idea of you don't really exist without anybody else existing. You're not a separate being, even though you think that you are. You think that you are making decisions, but he shows in this writing how you are made up of all of the past that is your parentage and your lineage and all of the connections that you make with all of the rest of the people that you meet. There's an emptiness. There's a nothingness to you, but that emptiness isn't a bad thing. It's a great way to think about your connection to everybody else. He talks about aimlessness, the idea of not having a focus on who you are right now, not knowing where you're headed. And the idea of focusing on now and not focusing on the future. This is very deep. I know we're going very deep on too much scrolling this week, but the idea of
wait a second. Let me get the hook out again.
The spiritual practice is the art of knowing how to create happiness and to handle suffering. Suffering exists. That's the first tenet of Buddhism, is life is suffering.
And so let's do it like Yoda would say, suffering.
Okay, so there's a Yoda, there are two Yoda references in the movie version of this documentary, and they are hilarious. Buddhism tends to be a funny kind of thought. The joy of Buddhism, I enjoy and smile when I'm reading or watching anything about Buddhism. Zen Buddhism is a little less joyous than the Dalai Lama kind of Buddhism, but I still found a lot of joy in these ideas of who we are and what we can do with our existence.
I don't necessarily think that this moves away from Western thought. Or maybe that's the argument.
That is the point.
Is that the idea of, I guess, selfishness, not being a jerk, mm-hmm. but the idea of observing your actions, observing yourself, observing how you interact, that's selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you have the right to like be a jerk to everyone. It just means that you're aware of what's going on with you, so you can better be part of like the situation, the community, the world that you live in.
That's it. That's exactly the message. You've really got the idea that he's setting out here. One of the big tenets of Buddhism is impermanence. Nothing is forever. Nothing is forever. This includes suffering. This includes pain. This includes
pain
all
leads
the
to suffering.
Anger leads to the dark side. Impermanence means that nothing will last forever. No matter how awful your day will end. And this is a very good way to think about getting through those bad days, those bad moments.
Well, I'm at a college yesterday, and we're watching a concert playing. And when they're all young people up there. And think about it, Steve, you work in a school, you work with young people. Mm-hmm. For them, the world is forever away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're there, but they're kids. It's forever away. But the people who were brought in to help fill up the audience and watch this, they're from a retirement facility. Hmm. So they're people from the community, but also a lot of people from a retirement community. And their window is much shorter. And they have a very different way of interacting with the world. And so what they're doing is, you know, when the band is playing, it's over, they're clapping extra hard. They're interacting with these young people because, you know, they're giving them the confidence to go out and solve whatever the next world's issue is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do they want to get in return? They want these people to be the strong people for the next generation. And their hope is that they received that when they were young too. That's, you know, sort of what the mentorship is. And that's what the giving to the next generation is. And in hope, the young people are kind and generous to that generation who paved the way for them.
That's wonderful. Music is a big part of of that, and performance is a big part of that, and bringing together that community to enjoy that moment with music is definitely very zen of you, my friend.
Well, it could be playing sports, or playing being part of a musical, or being part of a team that starts a company, or being part of a project that saves something that they feel is a value.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be anything where you work on something bigger than yourself.
Yeah, wonderful. One of the big tenets of Buddhism is not craving. You have enough is one of the big messages of this movie and this book, is the idea that true happiness does not come through acquiring more things. It's not about things. It's about these experiences. And I've lived that for a while now, thinking about the experiences, going to meet people, especially in conventions. I love going to conventions and meeting people and having those moments, that moment of presence with somebody who I can connect with on a level of peace and understanding. The lack of craving is talked about a lot, along with the idea of letting go. I know, Frozen, let it go. The idea of not worrying about our happiness, not focusing on our obstacles. Our idea of happiness may be the very obstacle to that happiness. Focusing on, I want to be happy. What can make me happy? How can I make myself happy? Can really keep you from reaching that goal.
Happiness. It helps me think of the Swedish. We're going to go Western on this. The Swedish have a way of a word. I can't remember what it is. It's like das dagning or something like that. Basically, it's cleaning for death is what it is. And it's where Steve and his wife later in life, they start those books you collected. It's like, maybe you give them away.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you thought were so important when you were younger that you collected, you have these accumulations of things. You don't need them, because if something would happen to you, your children now get to go through that,
mm-hmm.
or whoever takes over the home or whatever it is. And so getting down to what the essence of your life is, and that is your experiences and your centering of that moment. It just seems, once again, it seems like that this is speaking, these are truths have been around for the ages.
All right. No doubt about that. One of the ideas that I really enjoyed in this is the idea of peace and happiness are born from transforming suffering and pain. If there was no mud, how could a lotus grow? Is one of my favorite quotes from this book. You can harvest joy and peace and happiness from suffering and pain. There's no...
You didn't give me a moment to do my Kiana. Whoa. There you go. Thank you.
I love it when I bring spiritual books to this show with you, Chip. I love your experience of how this reaches you and how this touches your heart. Thanks for that. The master also goes on to explain how he actually doesn't like the idea that the West may put on the concept of nirvana. He says that the Buddha talked about nirvana as a state of being, and the West has somehow used that to think of nirvana as something that happens after you die, that the idea of nirvana is post-death. In fact, it's eternal death, a leaving of the samsara, the circle of pain and suffering and joy. And the master here explains that he hates that the Buddha himself would hate the idea that nirvana is something that comes later. Nirvana can be today. It can be now. It can be a moment, just a moment where you can feel that perfect moment to handle suffering, to generate moments of joy. And that really stuck with me with this book.
Ooh, baby, do you know what it's worth? We'll make heaven a place on earth.
There you go.
That's what a little point of Carlisle wrong? Right there. That right there, channeling right there, Nirvana.
Nirvana was smells like Teen Spirit.
Well, that would be, they need to go shower, Steve.
I love this book. I love its way that it can reach a Western mind. This is written very specifically for people who have not studied Buddhism and have not studied Zen. This is a great book to think about what you do, how you do it, and why, your motivations for why you do the things that you do, and maybe change the way that you think about living. The Art of Living, this sits on my shelf next to The Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama. The Art of Living and The Art of Happiness, that's pretty telling of my particular philosophy.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our Scroll with It. Boy, there's a lot of things happening in the world this week, Chip.
It certainly are. You know, what really is interesting is the number of comedians we seem to continue to lose.
Oh, boy. 2022 is coming for the comedians. It's not just Will Smith stalking and slapping. It is death itself. Unfortunately, we lost Gilbert Gottfried this week. That comedian with such a distinct voice. You cannot argue that Gilbert Gottfried's voice is a beautiful thing, but what a great story of a life that Gilbert Gottfried ran.
Very, very funny, very witty, and certainly a person who took some chances. I mean, he had the golden career working mm-hmm. with Affleck, mm-hmm. and he said something and was fired.
Too I mean, soon?
That could have lasted his entire life. But he anyway...
He played a lot of birds. He played Iago in Aladdin.
He did, didn't he? He was on the Hollywood Square, Steve.
Yeah, and I'm really sad to hear that we lost Gilbert Gottfried. He was a great podcaster, too. He had a pretty amazing podcast that he was running. And we have that history. We have all of that to save for later with Gilbert Gottfried.
Steve, for those of us who enjoy... privacy, is there anything that we should know about our Macs?
Yes. Hopefully we've talked about this enough over the last 8 years, but the idea of the search engines and the browsers that we use for the internet, they're keeping track of everything that we do on the internet. They are keeping track of your history, and they are using that information to sell you more things. Google and Facebook and Yahoo are all advertising companies. You are the product. They are making money by selling your information.
Well, you think that's important, but if you were in Ukraine or Russia, maybe it could be used in a more sinister way.
You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. Your privacy is even more important in certain situations. DuckDuckGo is focused on your privacy. They are a company that promises that they are not keeping track of your data. They are not going to sell your information. They are not an advertising company. And they have rolled out a new browser for mobile. And through that mobile browser, you can now put yourself on the waiting list for the Mac version of that browser, promising more security and privacy.
How interesting that is, and how wonderful that that is becoming a big deal. And mm-hmm. let's go ahead and mention this before we mention our next story. Elon Musk is attempting to purchase Twitter. His goal with that is, at least he says, is going to be to try to have a platform where free speech is actually honored. And that means speech that you may not agree with. Right. But
it's quite a challenge.
It certainly is.
To think of the corporate idea of Twitter up against the national idea of free speech. How can you, as a corporation, allow fiery speech that might be incendiary? Is that okay? And it's a dichotomy, for sure.
Well, you obviously can, we lived through a pandemic. You can see what the challenge of getting good information out there. Mm-hmm. And certainly negative information tends to have legs longer than it should, and can work to the detriment of many people. So
strong opinions.
But, you know, as soon as you're censored, yeah. Mm-hmm. Imagine you're a person who is in China. You have a social score, mm-hmm. and you know your ideas don't have a place in their world. This is interesting. We'll see if it happens, but at least he's attempting it.
It's a story to watch for sure. To think about all of the meaning of the free speech that we have in the United States, and is it really free? It's a interesting concept.
So Amazon seems to have taken one of their services and given it a horrible name. Is it Crackle Tuesday?
Yes, it is. It is that time of year, everybody. It is time to rename your video stream service. IMDb TV, which is a terrible name to begin with, is being renamed Freevee at the end of April. That is Amazon's new free commercial-based video service where you can watch old 70s movies and see how sweaty and dirty everybody was.
Well, there's movies on there. So, you know, if you are wanting to watch a free service, wanting to watch movies, many of them are available on IMDb TV or Crackle 2. This name is pure meta, Steve. Well, I mean, it's like an alphabet there. Well, not anything that would be confusing at all.
At least they didn't call it Zahn. Zahn was one of the names that was considered for this service.
This
Bow
is
before Zahn.
Oh my goodness, like Paramount TV. Once again, like it just seemed, you know, HBO Max. Not HBO, but HBO Max. Mm-hmm. These names are awful.
Terrible. Terrible names. Peacock. I just wanted to say Peacock.
Exactly. Steve, are we winning? Are we winning, Steve?
We are winning, Charlie Sheen. We are in the running for the That Damn Podcast, Indie Podcast Bracket Challenge. Continues this week. We survived the first round and now are on track for victory. The 64 podcasts got whittled down to 32 shows vying for supremacy. We want to thank our first competitor, 1420 Sports Podcast. For those of you who are interested in sports talk, 1420 Sports Podcast is the place to go for the not winner of this contest. Chip, do you have a touching final story for the news today in Too Much Scrolling?
Steve, our elders and a 105-year-old woman from Brazil, Epifania Maria de Jesus Mendes, she got her first tattoo, Steve, and she got a lot of them. And in fact, to celebrate this milestone, she got a golden key inked on her arm with the phrase, "Only love builds."
Give me a moment.
Let me wipe that tear from my eye.
Oh, 105 years old, she enters the Guinness Book of World Records for the oldest woman to get tattoos. That's a beautiful story, Chip.
That's gorgeous. And just think about it. I mean, you could be that next person, Steve. You could be the next person who's 106.
There you go. Long life. Long life for Epifania Maria de Jesus Mendes. Joy and happiness to all of her and her family. I hope everybody out there is as mindful as I am now. Can you hear just how much slower I'm thinking and saying things?
Well, all I want to say is, Steve, is that we've gone through a lot of Zen this week. We have Earth Day to end the week. And in between, there's April 20th, so 420. So something tells me that it's going to be a very relaxed week for a lot of people who are out there trying to save the world.
Very good. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come out next, Steve, man.
Whoa. We would love to hear from you. How's your life going? How is your focus on the present going? Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflug.
We'll see you in the future.
Why weren't we Cheech and Chong?
For lots of reasons.